Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to a special episode of the Coleman Had a Dream podcast. I'm not joined by Ruth this time, but I am joined by Mel, Kyle and Sean, who are all part of the Welsh transplant football team. Thank you very much for joining us, guys. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We're going to be talking a lot about what these guys are doing, also have a bit of a chat about Welsh football in general. Before we start, if you want to go to bagseatbags.com and use the code CHAD10, you can get 10% off and part of the money that you spend comes to us. Equally, if you go to buymeacoffee.com/Coleman's Dream, you can donate a few quid, which helps keep this podcast free. So please go ahead, go to buymeacoffee.com/Coleman's Dream and get involved and help supporting us. I got a message on Twitter the other day from the guys at the Welsh transplant football team, and especially from Mel, who I think is the person who is responsible for your Twitter and your general admin, and wanted to talk about what these guys are doing. And I thought it would be a brilliant opportunity to have a podcast with a difference. So help me do this properly. Mel, can you say hello first? I think you do the admin and the Twittering and everything else.
Hi, I'm Mel. I'm a transplant nurse in Morrison and I'm always also the treasurer for the football team. And I do the Twitter stuff because these boys don't.
Sorry, I've done you a disservice there by not saying you're the treasurer as well. Mel was also embarrassed that she didn't want to bring a proper drink on the podcast tonight. So she's just brought a Fanta, bless her. I think we're also joined by the lead manager as well.
Yes, so I'm Sean, the lead manager for the Welsh transplant team.
And we're also joined by Kyle, who I think is the assistant coach.
Yeah, I'm Kyle Foster. I'm the assistant manager and player for the transplant team.
Excellent stuff. So I kind of heard about this through Twitter and started having a bit of back and forth with Mel. And it's just kind of a really inspiring story, really, about how my favorite thing for people who are regulars of the podcast know that basically football being a vehicle for extra things and it's never always about the football is one of my favorite things. So to hear the you guys story and what's coming up for you next, there's some the transplant games, sorry, and also the transplant World Cup that's happening in Italy in September. We'll get to that in a sec, but first of all, I'm going to start with you, Mel. I want to have a general football background from you. Who is your football team?
Well, when I was growing up, because I'm 52, it was Saturday morning football only. So it was either join your father and your brother watching the Saturday morning telly or go upstairs. So I became a Liverpool fan from very young and carried on supporting them, really, much to the boys' distaste, throughout my years. I've watched them go up, I've watched them go down, I've watched a lot of highs and lows, but also I follow all the Welsh football. I think it's great, the Welsh football, especially with Wrexham and Newport now. So I just like football in general, really.
I think you've saved that at the end by saying I like football in general, because I was ready to boo and hiss at the Liverpool mention. Kyle, what about you, mate?
I'm a Cardiff City supporter, so I've been a season ticket holder, everything, watched them with the highs and lows.
How do you think
those at the moment?
I was going to say, how would you think the season's going at the minute?
Yeah, not the best. Not for the last couple of years. I like Welsh football as a whole. So Wrexham, it's nice to see them coming up. I've always followed Newport as well because I live local to Newport.
Are you going to the playoff final in? Oh well, God, getting ahead of myself there. The semi final, sorry, in a couple of weeks.
I won't be. No, we got a transplant tournament a couple of days later.
Oh, so you've been sensible.
Yes.
That's equally as disappointing as Mel being a Liverpool fan.
I don't drink anyway, so.
Okay. I'll let you off that. and to finish off, Sean, what about you?
Well, I'm going to bring down the tone even more. I've been a fan since I was like 6 years old, but I've enjoyed the glory years, the amazing years, and now I just keep myself kind of quiet in the corner, suffering through the history that is now happening in front of my eyes.
I missed the start of that. Sorry, who did you say your team was?
Manchester United. You just wanted me to say it twice.
I assure you, I didn't want you to say it at all. Now I've heard who it is. Do you and Mel have a bit of back and forth? Do you have a bit of rivalry there?
No.
We don't speak about it.
I was going to say, I think it's best to keep sleeping dogs lie.
Sensible decision. Mel and Sean, are either of you going to the playoff semi-final?
No, it's my mother's 70th. It could ruin the day, to be fair. So my mother's 70th birthday is going to be, here's your cake, blow the candles out, go to bed, ta-da. Football's on.
I'm sure she would appreciate a Welsh birthday present of Wales getting to the final of the playoffs. Do you have any thoughts on that, Mel? How do you think Wales are going to do in that playoff game?
You're watching the football from behind the settee as usual, to be fair. I hate watching Wales play. They terrify me. I switch it off after about 20 minutes and I join back in. So I don't know. It's a tough one against Finland. And then you got to play again then against, is it Poland?
Or Estonia, yeah.
Estonia, so it's two games, isn't it? It's huge.
Yeah, it really is. And who knows what's going to happen. Kyle, would you dare to give us a prediction for that game, or are you not a predictions man?
Ooh, I'd go 2-1 Wales.
Big fan of that. And Sean, to conclude this little, hopefully some positivity here.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I love watching Wales play, and I enjoy watching the women's game as well. You know, that's been a corker of a watch this year. And I like to think that the odds are in our favour. I know that Finland are a solid side, but, you know, when you have a situation like this, you know, you tend to have that buzz. Like with us, when you're representing your nation, you feel the whole nation kind of backing you to come away with a win. So it sounds like a pretty naff kind of odds, but I would like to think that we'd come away with a 1-0. We're not looking for quantity of goals. We just want to be able to put one in the back of the net that sees us through safely.
I would be terrified if we had a 1-0. Those dying minutes of that Ukraine game was one of the worst experiences of my life until that referee blew the whistle. Anyway, you mentioned they're a perfect segue to representing Wales. Obviously, you have the transplant football team, which is a fantastic idea. And I'm going to stay with you. How did the project get started, and kind of how did you get people together for it?
So it started back in 2017, and it was only started as a youth project. There is a charity called Kidney Wales that had a project called the Can Do Project. And the youth worker for Cardiff and Vale was not long into the job. I was volunteering, and we came up with an idea that many of the young adults that he was supporting were keen on football, as were we. So it was about just kind of having the charity money, having a venue, and putting a ball there and allowing the lads to come together and have a kick about, nothing more. For chronic illness, it can be quite isolating. So we thought football or sport in general is always the situation where the focus is just enjoying a sport that you love. And that's what we found. And it was then in 2019, so 2 years later, that we then became the Welsh transplant team. And that wasn't just football. That was for all sports. So that meant that every kind of sport possible allowed every person who had a transplant to be able to participate for their nation. So we formed our team, and we were hosting the British Transplant Games in Newport in 2019. And we had only been kicking about socially, maybe once a month maximum, nothing major, not real football training. And we participated in those games. The first time we ever actually stood and stepped onto the pitch, laced up properly as a team, a team that had never really played properly together. And we were able to come away with second place, which for us was massive in itself. Obviously, hosting the games, very much when we were just talking about the national football, you know, you're in a situation where you're repping your nation. So having that buzz fills you with so much positivity that I think that was what kind of strived us through to get to second place with not even having any major training. And it's been from that point that we've developed to the team that we are now today and the opportunities that we now have.
So to jump in there quickly, it's a seven-a-side team that I think you guys have and that represents moving forward. Yeah. Kyle, who is eligible to play for this team?
So it's solid organ transplants and bone marrow. So your kidneys, hearts, liver, pancreas, and lungs.
And how have you found getting in touch with people and kind of growing the team and getting more and more people involved?
It's been slow. That's what we're trying to do, is get out there amongst everyone so more people know about it. But in the last year, about 8 new signings we've had.
Yeah, our team has doubled in the space of 12 months. And actually, that has come through social media presence more than anything. And Mel, actually, pretty much wherever she goes, if she's not wearing our uniform, then she's shouting about us down some sort of corridor.
I go through transplant clinic and I look at the legs in the summer and I say, "Need to play football?" And they go, "Well, your legs look okay." And then we point them in the direction of training. Come on.
I was going to come back to you in a second, Mel, just to talk about the finances, because that's something that really interests me. But I will I'll just ask Kyle, are you wearing one of the team like training tops tonight?
So this was the original badge for this one for TTC, so Team Wales. So the original kit and everything, and now we've moved over to the new Club Peldroid, Transplantiad Cymru. I had to think of that word then. And so we've got a so this is a well actual Welsh team, and then we've got our club team then, which is
I've
Club
got to say,
Peldroid Transplantiad.
I love the top. I'm a big fan of all the old Wales Kappa stuff. To see that, so to see your badge on that as well is really cool, I think.
Yeah, it was great. So the kit itself, I was there at the 2019 Transplant Games. So I've got my shirt and my medal framed like you would. You go and buy a Man United signed stuff. I've got my own one up on the wall.
Well, that's amazing. I love that. I'm for, I've got a little, basically, I've got a. This is the bar I call it in my house, which is what my wife calls a Welsh Museum of Football. To have your own kind of stuff up there, your shirt and your medal, I think is
Oh,
amazing. You
yeah, great.
must be super proud of that and everything that's gone with that.
Definitely. I love it.
I'm not surprised. Mel, to go to you and the finances, I'm kind of intrigued about how the whole thing is financially supported, because in the back and forth we had at the start, you were talking about someone kind of picking people up in a minibus and driving people to games, and how so how is it supported financially, but also in a football sense, like are any of the kind of big organizations involved, like the FAW or anything like that?
Well, I only came in over a year ago, so none of this is on me. The boys have done tremendously well in the last X amount of years to get support, and Sean can tell you about that. I've come in this year to try and get media support, and we've got fun days and fundraisers organised. So that's where I've come into it. But Sean can tell you all about the background of the charities that support, because it's his thing. Go on, Sean.
How so? I just stick with you one sec, Mel. So how much roughly, like a ballpark figure, are we talking about? Do you need, if you like, to make things sustainable for a year?
Again, Sean knows that because he knows the figures of training. I mean, for instance, last year in our very first fun day that we were clueless in, we set up, we didn't have a clue what we were doing. We raised £4,900. That's in the bank, sitting, trying to promote and trying to get funding for kits and the training. We have to now start paying for things for ourselves, whereas charities would fund things. And I think there was grants from the Welsh Assembly. I'm looking at Sean here and I'm thinking, am I saying the right thing here? But what we are trying to do is promote ourselves going forward. What we can't become is a charity, because if we become a charity, then we can't have help from other charities, and we're not there yet. We're not there to fund our own. Just going forward to the things that the events that we've got in the future now, for the World Cup, for instance, you're talking 12 to £15,000 to get the team there. It's unsustainable from charities, so we've got to do it ourselves. I don't know the figures on the training and the things, but the boys can tell you exactly because they love playing with the figures.
Sean, I'll jump across to you then. So, roughly in a year, or how much do you need to kind of, if we take the World Cup aside for a sec,
Yeah,
how
absolutely.
much do does it cost you, or do you need to keep going for the training and the kit and the transport and everything that goes with playing?
Yeah, so for us to be able to sustain our 10, 22 training sessions a year, which is twice a month, plus friendlies, which is roughly 8 a year between official transplant tournaments, you're looking at about £4,500. That's just to run the very basics of our project, which means that it is consistent from January all the way through to November, which again was something that was a change from. We're kind of going into our 8th year now, but for the first 6.5 years, we weren't even that consistent. And when I was looking to restructure the beginning of January 23, I was only going to run training up until the end of October, so only 10 months. But it was through the growth of the project and the enthusiasm of the team, the players, that they wanted us to extend it into another month. So that's why now we have 22 consistent training sessions. So yeah, 4.5K for the basics. Then if we're looking at accommodation, because we supply accommodation for players who are North Wales, because all our training is based in South, you're looking at just under 2.5 to 3K there. So you're looking at nearly 8K in total as a minimum, because obviously at the moment we currently now have a new individual who has shown interest for our team, who is actually also based in Anglesey. So we have got 4 players in total that are based up north. And if that number continues to grow, things like accommodation costs are also going to continue to go. But we're kind of around the £8,000 mark currently with the numbers that we are supporting.
So everything is kind of across the whole of Wales, right? So it's not, as you say, it's not regional. And then obviously this year being the World Cup year, that obviously jumps everything up to, you talked about up to £8,000 there, and then the World Cup is 12 to feet. So as a minimum, you're looking for £20,000 in this year, just to kind of, as a minimum, to keep going, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We've worked out kind of the whole budget that we need just under 30K to be able to pull off everything that we have scheduled for this year. Because it's not us just going to the World Cup. We're actually, as Carl mentioned earlier, we've got the Transplant Sport Football Tournament this month as well, which is something that we are hosting for the first time, which is completely brand new. Every year that the TS tournament has been held, it's always been held in England. So before we even knew we had the World Cup, last year when we participated, we wanted to take responsibility of holding the event somewhere else, because Transplant Sport as an organization that governs all of Transplant Sport official tournaments for all sports, we know how important that is to the growth in promoting organ donation and the link with sport and mental health, that we wanted to showcase what we were looking to build until we were looking to host this year. So we've been very fortunate to be able to have locked that in place and actually be doing that for the first time ever. And it's already looking like we're around the 70 participants participating this year.
Oh, awesome.
Which is probably, I think it's roughly 15 to 20 more based on last year. And for myself as a manager and keen to expand football for transplant participants, it's all about, so where do we go from here? Now that Wales have had it, what nation could possibly do it next? And I've always been hoping that Ireland, to participate in the tournament as well, may look to maybe have it in 2025, and we circulate it like that and helping to grow the game for everybody.
I think growing it is a really interesting part of that. And I'd imagine, as I say, it's not about what happens on the football pitch or whatever kind of events anyone do. And Kyle, I want to come back to you if I can, and just talk about what impact you think this has for people beyond football. Because I know the experience of stepping on a football pitch or even going to a football match with your pals and you're just having a good time. That kind of feeling, I guess, of togetherness and being in your own little group and your own little world is fantastic anyway. But I think when you're trying to experience things beyond football, it adds an extra layer to it, I guess. So I'd love to know kind of what you think that's done for extra people and how it's affected you as well.
Yeah, it's done great for myself. So when I found out I had kidney problems and I was on dialysis, I didn't know no one my own age with a transplant or on dialysis. Everyone was in their 60s, 70s. So I thought it was just me. And then the Can Do project came around and I met the boys playing football. So I knew 2 or 3 of them. And then, like, now we're not just a football team, we are a community. So we all help each other when we're down, when things are going bad, like, because our health can just take a nosedive at any time. So we're trying to stay positive, keep everyone engaged. And so, yeah, it's just like, yeah, it's a supportive community. We all look out for each other on and off the field.
I love hearing these stories because this is what it's all about for me. And Mel, to come to you, when we were having the back and forth on Twitter, you said in one of your messages to me, you were filling up, just writing me a message, and seeing how much it means to you and everyone else around you. I think you're in a great position to also add to that in terms of what the project has done for people off the pitch as well.
Oh, most definitely. I mean, I've worked in transplant and renal with a background for a long time, and you see the isolation that these patients go through, or these not just, it's not just men, it's women as well, that they go through, and they feel like they haven't got anybody to turn to. So when I went along to the football, just as, because I knew some of the boys, obviously, it was just to see them just being normal and just being on that pitch and being, hi, my name is Kyle, I'm just playing football today for 2 hours. So if you'd walk past that training pitch, all you saw was a gang of men playing football, but you don't see what goes on behind the illness. I see what these boys go through regularly, and I take my hat off to them all, because when they have a transplant, they're not cured. It's a plaster to medications they have to do, to lifestyles they have to live. And playing football for them is the release. And like Kyle said, they're like brothers, you know. They whinge to each other, they moan to each other, they pat each other on the backs. And it's just good to see, because mentally it's huge for them all. And especially when you see, when you invite somebody new in, it's like walking into the pub on your own, and there's nobody else around, and you don't know anyone. And then there's these boys that just open their arms to them and bring them in, and that's the hardest part. And once they're in, they very rarely leave. And there's no commitment either. You know, they haven't got to go to training every 2 weeks, because they're not always very well. They might be fatigued. They might not be in a good place. But I've seen boys come along really, really fed up and really low. Within half an hour running around, their problems haven't gone away. But it just gives them a bit of a better frame of mind for the rest of that day, maybe, to go home. And the families as well. It's not just the Kyles and the Shawns, it's their families, you know, and their outer friends. And I just think it has a great impact for them all. We should be promoting what they do. And I'll start crying again now.
I think it is amazing, and I think promoting is what we do. And I think, as you said, people, when they have the transplant, don't get cured, right? It solves a problem in the short term, and I think that is something that gets lost. I think when you talk about these kind of things, and the battle it must be for people and their families, but to get away from that and have a positive experience, I guess, for a short spell. Shawn, what do you think is like the biggest win and performance you've had as a team altogether?
A couple. There's a couple of massive ones for me. The biggest one is definitely going back to 2019, coming together for the first time, and it's been the biggest achievement to come second in the British Transplant Games. We haven't beaten that record, because we were so unfortunate after 2019. We were hit with the pandemic, so for chronic illness, we had to shut down the football for a couple of years. And I think, when you've had such a high, to then be hit by such a low, by not being able to come together and stuff, our whole team took a mental beating. So we kind of had to rebuild from almost a reset position. But for me, an even bigger success is seeing the team that we have now. The team itself has gone through its ups and downs, as any team does, but the camaraderie that it has now is undeniable, and that's through many factors. We've got about four or five different WhatsApp groups for committees, our manager, but one of the most important groups is the team social. So none of the management is in there. Kyle is in there, but he's management, but he's more importantly, he's a player. And that's the most important part for me. So in that social group, they're able to interact and be lads. And whether they are going through a really difficult time, or whether they're celebrating a success with their condition or in life, then they're in a place where they will be supported for whatever it is that they're going through. And I love that fact. And one of the, there's been a couple of things for me that I've known for new players that we've had come to our team who have been on dialysis, which is a form of treatment before you have a kidney transplant. When they had their transplants, on both occasions, they shared with their WhatsApp group soon after them having that transplant. And That to me is something that is undeniable in regards to a community, because as soon as that individual has come through one of the biggest things they'll ever go through, one of their first thoughts was, I want to check in with my boys and let them know how I've been. And I think that's a beautiful story, because you can't see that, you don't know about it, but from a holistic perspective, I think all of us want something like that, to be able to just have that connection where not much has to be said, but you all know on the level of what that picture means or that comment means, and you can just be accepted for that very special moment in time.
I'm going to turn into Mel here. You're going to set me off in a minute. Kyle, for you as a player, have you got, I recognize all the important stuff that goes off on the pitch, but I also know that there's very, very few feelings in life that are as good as the ball hitting the back of the net and having that moment and celebrating and everything with your pals. And have you got anything that stands out on the pitch for you?
On the pitch, I think it's just coming together as a team. Like, obviously, 2019 was the first time I met on 90% of the team we played with, and we just gelled together and pulled off an amazing victory for us. Yes, just seeing same as Sean then. So we've had two players who, in the last year of our transplants, and to see them pre and post transplant, how far they've come, like amazing. So like, with our football team, so our club team now, we allow people pre-transplant and dialysis to play, where they can't play with like the British transplant games. So we're getting them ready for it, basically. And we have people with like eye transplants, cornea transplants. So just seeing everyone come together, we have got some players who've scored amazing goals. But I'm a defender, so nothing like that happens for me. I can't run. I just stay in defense.
Surely you've had a great experience where you smashed into someone, though. That's always a good time, right?
I've done that quite a few times, yes. Yes. There's no
Just a
slide
bear in
tackling
the
allowed,
car.
so sometimes I get a card.
Oh, that's all right. That's fine, isn't it? You've got to get these things out. Like Roy Keane famously said, just smash into someone just to make yourself feel better. There's nothing wrong with that.
I put my way in a couple of, in the way of some people in the transplant games before, and seen them fly like 6 feet away from me. Because I'm quite a big lad. But
Hey, that's
yeah,
this is the
it's
stuff we
great.
love. Exactly, we love it for more than just the football. Getting stuck into
Yeah.
someone. There's nothing wrong with that. The big thing I wanted to talk about, really, just to conclude in a way, is what is coming up. Because I know you've got a tournament, I think, later in March, but obviously building up to the summer, where you've got the Transplant World Cup. We've talked a little bit earlier about the money, and whilst this is not just an advert, I think it's important that everyone knows the background to it. There's also an element, Mel, where you need the money. Show me the money, right? That's also a big part of it. So if Mel, you can tell us what's coming up in March and then in the summer, but also what that means and what you guys need, I think that'd be great.
So in March, as Sean said earlier, is the transplant sports tournament where all other football teams come from around the UK. First time it's been hosted in Wales, and we are actually funding that. Our team are funding part of that. The transplant games are in Nottingham in November, in August. August, sorry.
August first.
I got so many dates in my head. So that's again, that's the transplant games for all patients who have been transplanted throughout the UK. I'm really looking forward to that. I've never been before, so it's going to be really lovely. The biggest thing for the lads, obviously, it landed on us a little bit a couple of months ago, is the very first World Transplant Football Cup, which is happening in Serbia, in Italy, and for these, not me, these to represent Wales is amazing, because it's usually Team GB, because you know yourself, Wales is small and they can just about fund a national team, get a national team on the pitch fit. So for us to have a team to go to Serbia to represent Wales is amazing. But of course, it's not cheap. We have set up a crowdfunder. We are trying. We're not expecting anything for nothing. We are doing fundraising. We're constantly working in, this is like our second jobs, trying to just get media attention, trying to get social attention like yourselves, and get businesses to support us, really. But it's just difficult because everybody wants something or somebody. But we are trying. We've got our very first fund. We've got our second fundraiser now in 4 weeks' time. last year's was good, but we had to cancel last year's because we had 2 weeks of monsoon weather. We were playing the Swans, the ex-Swans players. We had to cancel because it was just horrendous for 2 whole weeks, the weather. We played another team, thankfully, Swansea Galaxy from Swans, from our area. The sun was beautiful. It was glorious. It was October, but it was everything we wanted. It was families that turned out with their kids talking to each other. And some of these lads, their partners and children never met. So it was just perfect. It was a perfect day. And if we hadn't made a single penny, I didn't care because it was what I wanted. I wanted to see them all come together. So hopefully this in a month's time, it won't rain. And we'll have a good day again. And hopefully there'll be more word out this time. Because
you're killing me here, Mel, with all these good news stories. I'm on the edge. Where is it? Tell me specifically about the fundraiser in a month or so. Where is it and when is it? And give me some more details.
So that's on the 21st of April. It's in Morriston. It's in the Dingle, which is Morriston AFC club, the football club. They're amazing. They've done everything for us. They did everything for us last year. All we had to do was turn up. They supplied the pitch for free. It's a FAW approved pitch, I believe. So they supplied that for nothing. They put a fun fair on. They put stuff for the children on. And all we had to do was come. And it was brilliant. And we raised £4,900, I think, for that. So hopefully it'll be happening again this month in a month's time. And like I say, it's in the Dingle in Morriston. It's Morriston AFC, it is. And it's April 21st and starts at 12.
That's amazing. We'll put on our website. We'll put a special page on for this, and on that we'll add the links for the GoFundMe, and obviously the extra information about the fundraising, where it is and when it is, and how you can get in touch and everything else. I think the big thing that I would like to say from you guys is I hope that anyone else who's listening to this, you know, we're under no illusion. We're hardly the BBC here at Coleman Had a Dream, but I think if anyone is listening to this and can get involved from the FAW side, from BBC Wales side, and can get involved and support and spread the word about what these guys are doing here, I think that's amazing. And I think the more publicity and attention you guys can get to kind of drive this forward, both for what you guys are trying to do, but also just raise awareness for people with transplants in general and everything that goes along with that and people being involved in sport, I think is amazing. I want to wrap this up here because I think that's a great place to finish. I think I was just if we could finish just with one thing. Sean, if you could tell me one thing, one sentence about what this team means to you, go for it.
It's my own transplant family. It's my own transplant family. You know, I've been a patient since birth, on my third kidney transplant. So I'm proof. And very much when we talk about transplant isn't a cure, three times I've had to go through the process. And every minute that I invest into providing the opportunity for the players is because I want them to have a community that didn't exist when I was younger. And, you know, from the World Cup, the goal is for me as a manager to be able to have young people in pediatrics look at those participating in this World Cup and be like, wow, I didn't even think sport was going to be an option for me with being chronically ill. So they're going to be looking at our transplant team, looking at them as they do watch their actual official national team.
That's amazing. It is powerful thinking about the next generation of people. Kyle, how does it feel to represent Wales? I'm a terrible football player, so this will never happen to me. So how does it feel to represent Wales?
Amazing. I'm not the best football player myself. I just get myself in the way. But yeah, it's great. It's like everyone wants to wear their national badge. So this is our national badge. So putting this on is like amazing. It's always felt great.
It's incredibly moving, I think, actually, to look at you and to see you kind of pick your badge up like that is a really powerful thing, I think. I know people are not going to be able to see this and just hear it, but I think it's really powerful. And thanks so much for you guys coming on. Mel, to finish off just very quickly, is there anything else you want to add? What can we do? What can we do to push this and make more of this?
Just to let people see that these boys deserve. They just deserve to be recognised. Nobody sees the illness behind the people that you see on the screen today, but they're all carrying a story, and every single one of them has a unique individual story, and they need that story to be out there for people to see what they do. If I had a relative who had kidney disease, I'd want them to have a team like this for them to support them and just be there, because that's all they need.
I think that was a perfect way to finish. Thank you very much. Guys, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate you coming on today and chatting to me. And hopefully we can get you to, well, I say we can get you to the World Cup. We can help get you to the World Cup and help this grow, not just for yourselves and for the people involved in the team now, but as Sean said, there for the people in the future and everything else. So thank you so much for your time, guys. I really, really appreciate it. And fingers mm-hmm. crossed for the games and what comes up in September.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you for listening to the Coleman Had a Dream podcast, ladies and gents. Ruth and I will be back very, very shortly looking ahead to the Wales squad that gets picked for the playoff games, as well as a full preview for the Finland game and whatever comes next. Thank you very much for listening, and goodbye.